Welcome to Greenways, a podcast sharing stories and equipping real-world Jesus followers to see the kingdom of God break into the vocational space where they lead.
And welcome back. This is our second episode of Greenways Podcast. I'm Gareth.
I'm Johnny.
And we are so delighted to be sharing the next half hour with you.
So I've got an update on Naomi Campbell for you, Gareth.
Which one?
Both of them, actually.
Okay, go for it.
So I was picking up a takeaway from General Merchants at the weekend.
Nice.
Brunch, massive fan of brunch at the weekend. And the guy who was serving me at the front desk thought that it was a joke. So the order was under Naomi Campbell. And he looked down at the page and he looked up at me and he said, "Is this a joke?"
I don't know how to comment on that. So I don't do without offending somebody.
I said, no, I'm serious, for real. That is my wife's name. And then when the order was ready, he came out and he went to shout the name of the order and he sort of stopped himself and he looked at me and he said, "Are you really going to make me shout this name out?" And I was like, "Mate,
yes, please.
Yeah, for better or for worse, that is really my wife."
Excellent.
I actually thought what we could do on this podcast is, I would really love for the last episode of the season for the African-American model Naomi Campbell to do the little intro bit that Naomi is currently doing for us. So
okay.
I kind of thought maybe every week you and I and Dave should make some attempt to make contact with her team and just provide an update and see if we can get her to...
Done. Deal.
Oh, okay.
And listen, just on the off chance that any of you listeners have a phone number for Naomi Campbell.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, but who knows? Who knows? So the other piece of news we want to update you on is that since we last spoke and hung out, Johnny and I did a half marathon.
We did. So this is the first time I have been running over that distance. And for you, it's like a walk around Orangefield Park.
Well, not quite.
Almost, but it felt good actually to test myself over that distance.
So where are we doing a marathon?
Oh, here. When is them? Is there a marathon even planned or allowed?
Well, there is, but it's on a Sunday, which is a work day for me, which
okay.
is difficult. But anyway, but listen, we're waffling. We are here today to chat a little bit about faith and vocation in the area of for artists and creatives.
Mm.
Johnny, when was the last time you drew something?
Honestly, like probably 20 years ago or more. Like this is, I was looking at our schedule for guests and I was thinking there's so many people for whom I have some point of reference, but Ali Hart, who we're speaking to today as a creative and an artist, like...
And a Christian.
It's something that I have just never in any way felt like... a creative, or at least I create with words. You know, I'm from a family of English teachers. Even the prophetic comes to me in words, not in pictures. So it's going to be really interesting to talk to somebody who uses image as a way of kind of communicating and channeling what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying.
Yeah, for sure. It's a while since my mum's put my best drawing up on her fridge as well.
Mm.
So I'm really excited to be hanging out with Ali and chatting. So if you're a creative out there, or I just wonder where your creative outlet is, and what your experience of God is in that creative journey. That's what we're going to be exploring today, and how God wants to use you and your gifting, whether that's a hobby or it's your vocation, to shape the lives of the people around you. Creating, it's really interesting because when you read the Bible, the creative nature of God is actually the very first thing we see. In Genesis 1, God creates, let there be light, let there be... And it's incredible, absolutely incredible that we see it so clearly in Scripture and yet we talk about it so little in the church. The power of being creative. Humanity was commissioned to be creative. Adam and Eve, that was their job. Name the animals, create life, look after and tend and care for the creation. And the first time we see the Holy Spirit give a gift to someone, it is a creative gifting to help design the work of the tabernacle, or design the tabernacle. So we're really excited to be chatting with Ali.
And you actually own some of her artwork.
I do. I'm going to be chatting about that later, and you can see that on our social media stuff. So we'll be back in a second with Ali Hart. Don't go away.
Oh,
So we are here with Ali Hart. Ali, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Ali is a local artist, and I say that as a fan. I have one piece of her work hanging in my hall at home and another piece still in packaging because we can't get it framed yet until the framers open up again. Ali, you're also a vlogger. You're a poet. I love how you speak into women's lives to just encourage and to lift them up. One of the quotes that I heard you say, and it's really stuck with me, I want women to accept themselves from their brains to their bones. I just love that. You're a podcaster. Your podcast, Build a Creative Business in a Busy World. Guys, check that out after you finish listening to this one. We are just so thankful that you're hanging out with us today on Greenways Podcast. You're really welcome.
Thank you. What an intro. That's lovely. No one's ever really cared that much about me and my faith and my art. So it's just a privilege to be able to share this like space with you guys today. So thank you.
Cool.
So Ali, we're going to begin just by asking you a few questions, and that'll just ease you into today's podcast. And the rules are you're only allowed to give us a one-word answer. It's yes or it's no. Okay?
Okay.
So the first question is, can you run 10K in under 50 minutes?
Yes.
What about online church?
Yes.
Socks in bed?
Oh, no.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, you've passed the test. You're okay.
Winter time. I like a sock during
the
winter.
Oh, no. Don't start. The country. Don't start equivocating.
I know Gareth grew up in the country too. It was cold.
It was cold. Johnny doesn't understand these things. No filter on Instagram?
Always, yes. Yes to no filter. Yeah, no filter.
Coffee after 7 p.m.?
No, because of a heart defect, but I love coffee. I get excited to get up in the morning to have coffee.
I feel like a heart defect is a good excuse to avoid coffee.
For sure. What about Irish League football?
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's exciting.
I'm still in the minority here. Okay, that's fine.
Ali, what about Johnson's baby lotion? Yes or no?
Lotion?
Yes, Johnson's.
No.
Okay, and final question.
That's a great one. And interestingly, I talk about that. Sorry to interrupt you. I talk about that in my mentoring package because Johnson's is one of the best branding. Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah, I heard it in your podcast from last week. So yeah.
I digress.
That's why I threw it out there. Final question. Why on earth are you so prejudiced against gravy boats?
Oh, that's from my story yesterday. My husband was cross with that because we do have a gravy boat. Is that a yes or no, though?
I don't know. It's just nonsense. It's okay. Okay, Ali, listen, into a bit more serious stuff. Tell us just in a couple of minutes a little bit about yourself, about your family, your faith, and your earliest memory of creating something.
Okay, and my name is Ali Hart. Thanks again for the introduction. I'm an artist, podcaster, writer, educator. I've had to grow the business very creatively in itself because I started it with nothing. In terms of me, I'm married to Michael. We have three boys. My friends who are Jewish said we took all the Hebrew names. We have Elijah, Tobias, and Abraham. Mm-hmm. I have a dog called Mimi. And yeah, I have two girls who help me on my team. I work creatively. I talk about it. I'm good at front of house. I'm good at the front of house stuff. They help with the back end. Both of the girls also happen to have faith and be Christians, which I think is beautiful.
Awesome.
Part of the journey
for
me. And so for me, my faith, there's my mum and my brother and myself. That was the way it was from 1991 after my dad died. And I would say now I talk about faith and I talk about God in the everyday language and the way that I operate as a mum, as a businesswoman, as an artist. But for me, after dad died, he died the week before my birthday. He had a very strong faith. There's a very interesting story of when he actually died. He had a heart defect as well, same one as I have. So he had this experience. We did actually die. His heart stopped for a couple of minutes. And during that time, he believed that he saw Jesus. And he said, like, wow. Can I not come? I want to come now. And he said, not now. So that was something that even though my mum was a Methodist, you know, grew up Methodist, works for the Church of Ireland, sent us to Presbyterian Church, but also I went to the Baptist. That language was always that openness about Jesus and about faith was very real from a very young age. So I guess I then ended up at CEF camps and different child evangelism fellowship. I was quite a hyper child. I can see that in my second born. I think my mum probably sent me to those camps to get rid of some of the energy. But those, I would say that was the shape of my faith, started there, that real joy and friendships and Christian friendships. But also because of growing up with just mum and my brother, you were always in a scenario where you're quite different anyway. I think that it did more to strengthen my faith. And now I would say, yeah, I love the Lord, and I would be an artist who is a practicing artist with a strong faith, as opposed to a Christian artist. I don't know. I know we're going to get to that eventually, but yeah, I think I'm finding my way, and I'm still learning, still a student of the Lord, but happy.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that idea, and it's coming across in the conversation there. There's not this sacred secular divide in your life. You know, everything's lived before God and quite open, and that's very cool. No, brilliant.
Including my feelings.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. Tell us then, when did you start to realize that art was not just a hobby or a passion, but could actually become a vocation?
I've always been interested in the world. And as I talk to you now, behind me is a painting of the city. So the city has always been something that I have loved painting. And when I was in GCSE level, I had a painting of Utopia. So Utopia is very much like the world it's created. Mm. It's not. So that was something I was painting, and it was my teacher at the time in Ballinahinch High School who said to me, like, this is more than, you know, you're talented, I guess. You maybe even use those words. And it meant very little to me at the time. It was a free pass to get out of maths, which I was terrible at. And so that there was that. But then you go on, I think that's why I started a podcast called Build a Creative Business, because the path's not very straightforward. So I went from that to then going to the foundation course in art. Well, I went to Friends to do my A-levels. I aced them, A-C-E. They thought I was predicted much better than that, but again, art was my focus. So, but that was still me painting cities, painting, and then went to foundation degree, master's. I wanted to be an art teacher, because that felt like the only way. You're not taught how to sell your paintings, but yeah, so it I don't know. Maybe after my first child, when I was 25, I realized this is me.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's cool. Thank you.
I for GCSE art, I had to draw Twix. I was in an art exam. It was 3 hours long. Ali, I always noticed in school, whenever you had a history exam, it was like, describe everything that's happened so far. You have 10 minutes. And then in art, it was like, draw Twix. You've got 4 days. And there was a girl in the class, after about 2 hours of silence, sneezed on my friend Glenn, sneezed on his artwork, and sort of snot rocketed over his Twix. And then he sat there in furious silence, and 5 minutes later she sneezed again, and she deliberately emptied her head all over his Twix. But my art teacher said,
"What was your Twix like?"
There you go.
Well, I remember my teacher actually saying something similar, coming down and trying to persuade me that I was probably a world-class artist. I just didn't have the same level of belief.
Well, here,
not at all.
Whereas actually, whenever I was an A-level, I was told the opposite of what I've been told at GCSE. So it really has been a push-pull. Sorry, I thought you were going to say that your text was...
Like, no, my Twix was brutal.
But there's a question there in that, in terms of...
Is there?
There is. Because I think when we're kids, everybody draws. Mm. Everybody paints. Nobody doubts themselves. Nobody holds back. Like, you know, when my kids were smaller, they drew on the walls and the manse, which was a whole different story. but everyone draws. And then you get to Johnny's Twix and you're starting to doubt yourself a little bit. And then as adults, the only people that draw are artists.
Yeah, you again, I love this question too. You are you're pigeonholed in a way. You have to tick the boxes. Everyone has to learn in some way. I understand education is you have to, you know, do the history exam or do the exams and make sure that you fit the boxes. But it's interesting that I'm now doing something. Mm. Where did you think this was, Johnny, behind me?
Sorry, I mistook the. I actually mistook the Belfast City Hall for the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
That's
probably just wishful thinking, you know.
Yes, well, that's my take on it. Is my point now. Okay. Whereas when you're in school, you know, you have to make sure that you're doing it the way that you're meant to do it, you know, and you're meant to draw the trainer the same way. That's how they view you, as good or bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, what happens is we become self-conscious, and I think that can go across life in general. That can, you can talk about that with faith, you can talk about that with career. We worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
And that learned. So that's interesting about my dad, with him dying between my 7th and 8th birthday. What I've learned through a lot of therapy and a lot of looking into more psychology is that that's a time when you actually transition to knowing and realizing that there's other people around. It's not just all about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then in terms of art, that's basically what my job is now as an art educator, is giving people space and time to not feel self-conscious. And that's also been the beautiful thing about having to do it via Zoom, is because nobody else has to show their work, although I do actually make people show their work, but in a encouraging way, to encourage each other, because everybody is different. So yeah, I think what happens is, you know, my 4-year-old, he can draw me like myself. I've got, or I took it down, a picture of me, just a big circle with 2 legs. He loves that. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The 9-year-old and the 12-year-old find that kind of funny because it doesn't really look like you. So I think we just worry about what people think.
I love the idea that, you know, art has the potential to help you love yourself better and be more comfortable in your own skin. I love that journey of expression.
I just want to know when the, like, transition point is. Do you know whenever kids bring artwork home and it's universally celebrated at a certain age?
Put on the fridge.
Yeah, but at what point do you reach the stage where you say to a child, listen, this is actually very poor, you know? Like I
don't draw pictures and bring them home to Lara and say, can we put this on the fridge anymore?
Yeah, and also, isn't it funny how there was a funny meme or something I said, and the amount of times as a mom you're told, where's my artwork, you know, because I like to bin it quite often.
So good. So. Ali, what's your favourite piece of art?
So David Hockney, I love his work. It's very bright, and it's just a lot of California sun comes through, and whatever, all the LA paintings that he's made.
What's your favorite piece of art?
I was going to ask you the same question.
I
feel very unqualified to hold an opinion, but I really like Charlie Mackesy's stuff. And I know it's a cliche, but it's not. It's an alpha cliche, but Charlie Mackesy has a sculpture outside the church at HTB over in London. Sculpture of the prodigal son collapsing into the arms of the father, and
it's powerful.
It's a profoundly moving piece of artwork.
What about you, Gareth?
Yeah, for me, there's a piece of art by, I think it's Salvador Dali, that hangs in one of the Scottish galleries in Edinburgh.
I can't believe you've gone for something by Salvador Dali.
Is that not okay? No.
That's great.
Yeah. No, it's St. John on the Cross. Okay. And it's this painting of Jesus on the cross. The earth is underneath him. It's the cosmic Christ. But it's as if there's no separation between sacred and secular. It's just Jesus just ruling over all of creation. And it sits at the end of the corridor in the gallery, and there's no other art in the corridor. So it just transfixes you and draws you. It's so powerful when you go to see it. So we go, anytime we're in Scotland, we try to go in and see it. Welcome back, guys. So we want to go a little bit deeper in this creative space. Earlier, Ali, when we were just, I guess, riffing a bit over the introduction, Johnny and myself, we were just remembering the fact that creativity is the first characteristic we see of God in the Bible, the first activity we see of God in the Bible in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And then when he creates Adam and Eve, one of the first tasks he charges humanity with is to be creative, and to multiply and to help the creation to multiply. It's one of the first spiritual gifts we see, art and creativity in the design of the tabernacle.
Bezalel.
Well done. Your mom will be proud. Last time you dropped the spiritual reference in, you couldn't remember where it was from. So God clearly massively values creativity and art. We see it in the story of the Bible. We see it in the creation. How do you, as an artist, think art is valued in the church today, or could it be valued better?
Yeah, I suppose there's the really obvious stained glass windows. You know, you look at the kind of the structure of the church, I think, is one way. Then the interior inside of it are the people in it.
It just reminded me, actually, of going to Summer Madness in the King's Hall. And there was a picture at the front right-hand side of the stage of somebody who looked incredibly thirsty, kind of emptying a bottle of water down their throat. And just this image of like thirst quenched. Mm-hmm. And I always associated those environments and those moments at Summer Madness with experiencing fresh things of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. I thought you were going to say that was me throwing water down my throat. I went to Summer Madness. Summer Madness was brilliant. That's mm-hmm. a real creative space. And yeah. I think the first time I heard Foy Van sing actually mm-hmm. was there. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it's just, what are your thoughts on it, creativity in the church? I'm really thankful that you've given me the space to share, probably not very eloquently, about creativity, to be honest. But that it's been something I've always yearned. They used to interview people in church and I thought, that's really great that they're they work in a bank or that they are, shopkeeper. But I used to think, why are they not talking to any of the artists or the architects?
Yeah.
That's maybe like my own view on that. You know, I get excited about painting and about creativity and kids and adults. But what do you think about it?
It's just like, I suppose that image, that painting that was on the wall at the King's Hall was like over years of attending Summer Madness, every time I looked at that, every time I saw that in that particular environment, it like God was communicating to me through mm-hmm. that picture about what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life. And yet, not sure if I recognized it. Like I knew that the guy on the stage using the words was communicating to me, but it didn't occur to me as much that the image that an artist had created was also doing something. Mm-hmm. But now that I think about it, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
it was such an important part of the experience, you know.
Isn't that back to talking about like people, what people think about, you're probably so involved, we talk about people being in their own movie, you know, you're probably so involved in that time and that space that actually you maybe weren't aware of everything around you. I think it's only as we get older, the hindsight that we have, or like looking for God in all of these different creative spaces outside of the norm, outside of the spoken word, outside of our Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, Ali, there's a difference between a Christian artist and an artist who is a Christian?
I do. And it's something I've struggled with, and it's something that I have thought about even putting in my bio before. But mm-hmm. so how I would view it is, I am an artist who is a Christian. Mm-hmm. So I will openly talk about God and faith being a part of my mixing of paint, my application of paint, the words that I write, the poetry that I write, how I engage with my customers and with my followers. Maybe that's not a very easy path. Maybe it'd be easier to be the Christian who is putting out art that is Jesus on the cross, that is, there's actually quite a few artists as well, and I admire them for it, the abstract feeling, or they work with prophetic, what do you call it, like whenever they, like visions mm-hmm. as well,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's amazing. For me, probably going back to what I said about my early faith and being brought up in an environment which was, you know, yes, there was protocol and there you went to church on a Sunday, but the faith element was quite diverse and quite open. Maybe that's just the way I am. I never really was very good at being in a bubble, like a Christian bubble. I enjoyed it. It was great. I thrived on it. But, you know, I had non-Christian friends. I loved to travel. I did things quite differently. So being the Christian who is an artist feels more suited to me than being a Christian artist who paints Christian art, if that makes sense. Maybe that's very controversial.
No, but I think that's really interesting.
No, I think that's really important, though. I think there's a place for both. And the way society and culture is going, it's a contested space for Christians to have a very strong voice in. And actually to move in those places where your art engages with people and then your faith maybe comes around the edges of that in some ways. I think it opens up more conversations. I love that.
Well, like Aslan, you know, when you paint Aslan or when you paint a lion, like I'll openly call it Aslan. Yeah. And that was a beautiful way for me to engage with people who were overtly Christian, mm-hmm. who spoke about their faith and who were, you know, if I posted up a verse or whatever, they connected with that.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's just not the only route. I had a review with one of the girls who works for me, Sharon, and we were praying at the start. And then it's obviously very open and very honest in a review, 6 month review. And I'm telling her, like, don't hold back, you're allowed to say. But we're both very encouraging with each other. But one of the things she said is, like, I am a bit of a roller coaster. So I'm good at front of house. I have the girls working in the back for me and helping me build the business. So it feels like I will always being diverse will always be part of who I am. But God is there and is the center of my day. Mm. I'm just maybe I'd be better being a Christian artist. Maybe I would do better with my faith, to be honest, if I applied more of the verses to it. I'm not adverse to it.
Yeah.
Right now it just feels like my art is my art and my faith is part of that.
Yeah, no, I want to encourage that, definitely. I have one of your paintings of one of our favourite scenes in Northern Ireland on our wall in our hall. I've said that to you. And when we're in Portrush at sunset or sunrise, when I'm in the water surfing at that time of day, I don't feel closer to God than anywhere else. That is the best experience for me in terms of faith and life and everything coming together. And when I see that piece of art you've created, I'm transported into that place. My faith, my connection with God rises because of that. And it's not, like, that piece of art is not obviously a Christian, you know, it's not a cross, it's not an Aslan, it's not, and yet it does something to my faith because of that. So I love that.
Yeah, and I think as an artist, as a businesswoman, you know, I could rock in the corner and hope that people find me and find my art. Well, the way I built the business is being me and placing importance on the everyday is very important to me. So that all I ever wanted was people to talk around a dinner table about it. So yes, if people find a message and find, but as you say, like the vision of you surfing, I can't surf, but the vision of being in the water, sunrise, sunset, that is a God-given moment.
It is, yeah.
Even more so if I could surf well, I can't. I just enjoy it.
Ali, we were also going to ask, tell us a little bit about the Holy Spirit in the creative process. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit in any way as you create something? Or is that not really in your mind and heart?
I feel at the minute God is just like in and around everything with the business, and it shifted loads, and it's so, wow. I felt like this was challenging. Yes, is the Holy Spirit in it? If I actively commit my day to God, I can see the Holy Spirit in what I do.
Wow.
If I get up and I'm frazzled and the kids, it's mad, and I start the day shouting and yelling and I just rush into work and start a thing, it's a very different day. So,
wow.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool.
And the more work that I do like this, which is of the less commercial I was talking about, the more I feel God is in that. You know, I'm running around the city at the minute trying to get inspiration, literally running. I'm trying to steep myself in the streets because I think it's a brilliant city and I think God is in the city. It's just whether I'm able to depict that with the guidance of the Holy Spirit or whether it's just me being self-led.
Yeah. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Just please, please keep doing it. We love that. Let's transition a little bit. I want to ask you, do you have a story or could you share a story of how God has used a piece of art that you have created to impact or change someone? You go on a journey to create something and you put it out there, and then that's given to somebody, or they buy it off you. Do you ever hear how that has impacted the person or blessed them?
Yeah, well, you touched on that with the Portrush Sunset. That is probably, like, that will never get old for me as a business and as a creative, that someone is impacted by a place, a memory, a thing, a person that I've painted. So I couldn't really pinpoint one, but that the feedback whenever you have, yeah, I do hear from people, look, it's beautiful, do you know?
I have one last question, and it's kind of a biggie, it's kind of a big picture question. What is the power of art, and you can be as broad as you like in your definition of that, when it's put in God's hands to influence and bless a culture, a city?
Well, you can bring back people. Art allows escapism. Art allows freedom. Art allows mindfulness. It brings in spirituality. It brings in connection. How can it probably could. Do you know, I work actually with someone, and she works in the prisons. She teaches art in prisons.
Wow.
Has been a really big role for her, and playing that role with people who are physically trapped inside, and even working through their own demons in their head. Art can bring freedom to that. So if that's inside a prison, imagine that can do to anybody else, and especially people who are not made to do art. Whenever you are connected with it on some level, so whether that's a painting, whether that's a poem, we're talking about words there as well, Johnny. Yeah. Like, words are art.
Yeah.
Scripture. I don't know, it's very exciting for me, the idea of that.
I love it. For me, my favourite part of East Belfast is C.S. Lewis Square.
Yeah.
I just keep getting drawn back to there. And this place that, you know, 20, 30 years ago was a really difficult part of our city has been rebirthed and resurrected in some ways. And right at the centre of it is this just sculpture of Aslan. And you go down there any day of the week, especially during lockdown, and there's kids playing on scooters, and there's elderly folks sitting having a cup of coffee, and people walking and cycling and running. And this motif,
it's
if you
there.
Like, of Jesus is there over all of it. And it just catches my heart, people's heart. It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel nearly emotional, actually, like, listening to that. It's mere Christianity, isn't it? Is one of the, I remember Michael and I, my husband and I, reading, like, that being able, for C.S. Lewis, that is a, I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, is that if it's in and around the seams, and it's there, it's God is, and amongst, you said it, like Genesis, you know, it's creation started out with creativity.
Yeah,
for sure. I love it.
Yeah, it's just funny. I'm going to pray in a little moment, Ali. I'm just thinking about the sort of, you know, I thought I wouldn't have much to reflect on for this episode, just because art is not something that has played a big part in my life. But I was thinking about the some of the areas that we run past in East Belfast, and the amount of artwork on the walls in terms of the murals, and how just there's sort of a, you can almost physically see a transition happening. Some of the murals are terrifying. You know, I remember I did a tour with a friend from England last year, and the tour guide said to him, the amazing thing about this mural is no matter where you stand, the machine gun is pointed directly at you. And I thought, isn't that... I mean, what a way to sum up, like, the artwork of East Belfast. You know, no matter where you stand, we're kind of threatening you. But and then some artwork has emerged over the top of it that is like celebrating our positive contribution to the world. And yeah, it's kind of amazing to watch that happening. Maybe someday I'll get a commission to go down and like paint over the top of
a Twix.
I could paint a massive Twix over the top of like a machine gunner, you know.
And it would take you 20 minutes.
I just 20 didn't.
Minutes.
Smash
exactly.
it in 20
You'll
minutes.
You'll not need 3 hours.
Anyway, sorry, I'm going to pray.
No,
I thought it would have nothing. I'd have nothing to say today, but actually, you've inspired me. Let's take a moment just to pray today for our listeners, and let's pray for creatives, and even those who don't believe they are creatives but might have heard something today that changes their mind. Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay. I'll pray, and then Ali, you follow on. Father, we want to pray today for our listeners. I want to pray for listeners with creative ideas that have been brewing over the last 12 months or so, that you would give them the boldness and the daring to put their creative ideas down on a page or onto a canvas in words or in pictures and make them a reality. I want to pray for people who feel like they're too busy for creativity, that you would grant them the space for something new. I want to pray for those listening who have a creative output already, who paint something or craft something or who play an instrument, and just pray you'd bless them, Father, by your Holy Spirit to make more stuff and to put it out there and to have an impact and a fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are a caring God. You are a creator. We are so fortunate to be able to share in that, Lord, in the music that we listen to, in the words that we speak, in the words that we read. And I do pray for creatives today, Lord, that they will see a path and that they will see you in every brush mark, in every note that they put down, Lord. And I thank you for this podcast. I thank you that you're able to reach people through their ears, Lord, and through the words of Gareth and Johnny. And I just pray, Lord, for creatives as they do continue to be in a church and to build a church. And I pray, Lord, that you will move in massive, massive ways through music, sound, written word, but also through just day-to-day life, Lord, and the hum and the drum of the city. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Ali, this has been an absolute joy to hang out with you. You are our first guest.
That's right.
On a podcast with a few more recordings lined up in the next day or two. But
people will be a bit more articulate than I was. I feel like I wasn't as eloquent as I hoped I would be, but hopefully, that's the thing about being an artist.
Oh, listen, no, it was great. So it was. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Oh man, how much fun was that having Ali to hang out with for half an hour? I could listen to her and talk with her for 3 hours. It was great. What I love about Ali, and when you guys go and check her out on social media, when you go to her website, check out her podcast, look at her art, what I love about her, she's a bit like a rising tide in a harbour full of boats. Her creative outlet that flows through so many different mediums actually lifts the people around her. And that's how God's using her. You know, art, the stuff she paints is one aspect of that, but through her words, through her poetry, through how she uses her time and gifts it, she lifts everything else around her. And I love how God's shaping the culture around her as well.
Yeah, she talked a bit about that, sort of drawing other people in through her coaching and guiding and mentoring and stuff. And the thing that was actually in my mind throughout that conversation was somebody once said, you know, a shoemaker who is a Christian brings the kingdom of God not by scratching little crosses onto all of their shoes, but by just making brilliant shoes, you know. And I thought, like, in this time of lots of creative proliferation because of lockdown, you know, people maybe need to have the confidence that their creative output can be part of their kingdom influence, not necessarily by scratching crosses all over it, you know, but just through their brilliance and by being themselves and by doing what they love.
Yeah, so if you're a creative out there, whether you're using art or sculpture or words or whatever medium it is, we want to encourage you to be brave and take risks. And as you feel the Spirit inspire you, don't be scared to put it out there and trust that God is going to use that to impact and bless other people and to release his kingdom here in the city. Guys, we've loved journeying with you this week, and we're going to see you again in 2 weeks. So listen, have fun, reach out to us on social media. Don't forget to follow us and share us.
There is social media.
There is social media. And we'll speak to you soon.
See you again. Bye-bye.